Now, my message today, Mark chapter 13 and verse 32, we read these words, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." These are the final verses of the 13th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Over these past few weeks, you will know, if you've been able to listen into the program, you will know that I've been doing a little series on things that God knows. And here is another one, and yet it's heaven's best kept secret. "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." Things that God knows. The content of the chapter, chapter 13 of Mark's Gospel, it's an extended answer that is given by our Lord to a question that was put to him by his closest disciples. Peter and James and John and Andrew are gathered with him. And as they are there together at the Mount of Olives, they ask him this question. And it says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, these men asked him privately, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" Before that, just in the opening two verses of the chapter, the Savior is speaking about the destruction that would come on the city of Jerusalem, when there would be not left one stone upon another that should not be thrown down. And as the disciples questioned him regarding this, he answered not only that question, but he gave them an extended answer that covers the great era that we know as the age in which we live. And he's speaking of things yet to come. And it's an address concerning the signs of the times and the end of this age. It's an overview of human history. It's an overview of earth events, all leading up to the climax of verse 32. And much of what we read, indeed all of what we read prior to verse 32, has to do with what is referred to as these things. These things. And then we have that transition, very swift transition, a very marked divide from moving to these things to that hour. These things and that hour. And concerning that hour, it's a secret known only to God. Now, he speaks about the things that we can see, these things. And as we would read that chapter, and there isn't time to read it on a program like this, but if you take time and you read Mark's Gospel and you read chapter 13, you will see something of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ is referring to. He's referring to Gentile nations in their conflicts and in their confusion. We are living in that era when we are seeing the conflicts and the confusion is abroad in Gentile nations in these days. He's speaking also about the Jewish nation, and of course, being Jewish, he had a particular interest in that nation, and he came first of all to bring his gospel to his own people, and then of course to the extended world. But he speaks about the Jewish nation in their gathering and in their tribulation. And as we watch the events that are unfolding these days in relationship to the Jewish nation and Jewish people, we can see harbingers of these things. We can see indications of the fulfillment of things that he spoke about right here on the Mount of Olives with his disciples. He speaks not only about Gentile nations and the Jewish nation, but he speaks about celestial bodies and what I've referred to as their irregularities. What do I mean by that? Well, he speaks about in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. So obviously, there are going to be some unusual things happening in those celestial bodies and in that above our earth world. What a coverage he gives to them of things to come, of these things. And of course, we can make a deduction from all of this when we read that many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation shall rise against nation, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are issues that are worldwide. And we can make a deduction from what we see in our world and what we read in the Bible right here in these verses. We can make the deduction that he is coming soon. In fact, he states that in verse 29. He says, so ye in like manner, when you will see all these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, or in the original, that he is nigh, even at the door. The deduction that we can make is that Jesus Christ is coming soon. The certainty, of course, is in there too, because he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, verse 31 of Mark 13, but my word shall not pass away. And it doesn't matter how people view it, whether they look at it seriously or they refer to it mockingly or disregard it, it won't make any difference to the ultimate outcome, the ultimate reality of the event. The certainty that we can conclude is that though heaven and earth should pass away, what the Lord Jesus is saying in this chapter will certainly be fulfilled. But then we have verse 32, but of that day. So now we have moved from an overview to a specific. We have moved from an age coverage to a moment. Yes, there are things that God knows. And we've been thinking about that. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows about our human frailty. He knows who are those who are his. The witness that I belong to him, the Lord knoweth those that are his. We dealt with that a few weeks ago. The experiences that I am enduring or going through in relationship to Job when he said, but God knows the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Those are things that God knows, which in some measure we are also aware of. We realize it in our minds, in our emotions, in our circumstances, and we say, well, God knows what I'm going through. I know it too. But here we are on a different level. We are in the level of something which we are not privy to, which we cannot know, though we realize it is a reality. The day, the hour, that moment of the coming of the Lord. Again, I've called it God's best kept secret, known by him, known by the divine Trinity. But outside that confined circle, it is an unknown moment. Sometimes various religious movements have tried to predict or have predicted the coming of the Lord, that it would be on such and such a date. Well, there's no man, says the Bible, no man knoweth the hour, no, not even the angels. And here the Lord Jesus says, neither the Son, but the Father. And I want to just say something about that. Things God knows that are unknown even to angelic hosts, and how transcendent they are to humanity, and how close they are in proximity to the eternal throne when spoken of in relation or relevant to the distance that we are from it, and the humanity of our being so transcendent in their on humanity, their angelic nature and in their spiritual being, and to the Son in the context of his humanity. He says, I don't know it. In my humanity, I'm not aware of the moment. But of course, in his divinity, he did know. And that's somewhat incomprehensible for us to think that there are any things that Jesus would not know. But speaking as a human being, but because he is perfect man, he says, no, not even the Son. But of course, in his divinity, he knows all things. And he knows the moment as well. And so in the divine Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, within that confined circle, yes, the moment is known. But not to us. So what is the lesson? What is the homily? What is the sequel? What is the relative message? Well, that's what I want to share with you in these concluding moments. Can there be any value that is relative to me or to us as listeners this afternoon to the program? Can there be any value when we are confronted with an issue that is so beyond us? That's the emphasis of verses 33 to 37 in the chapter. And three times we read these words, watch. Verse 33, Jesus said, watch and pray. Immediately after saying, but of that day knows no man, only the Father knows. What does that have to say to me? It says, take ye heed. Jesus says, take ye heed, watch and pray. Why? For you know not when the time is. Verse 35, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. So he says, watch ye therefore. Verse 37, the concluding stroke on the whole issue, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. These words are addressed to his followers, to these men, Peter, James, John, Andrew, and how applicable they are to us today. How relevant to the days in which we live. How interesting to find that Peter, one of these four that's mentioned at the beginning of the chapter, who when he writes his epistle later on in the New Testament, he takes up this same thought. And it made such an impact on him as Jesus spoke to him there that later on in life when he wrote to the believers, the Jewish believers, he speaks about this in his final message. And he has a threefold emphasis in it. Whenever he speaks in 2 Peter chapter 3, he says in verse 11, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? In verse 14, he says, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him without spot and blemish before him at his coming. Verse 17, he says, see that ye know these things before, beware, lest ye fall from your own steadfastness. So again, it's a threefold emphasis. Once is adequate, but three times makes it superabundant and emphasizes the message, underlines it, underscores it, presses it home to our consciousness and presses it home to our hearts, and it presses it in so that we might respond to it. And you should take time to read 2 Peter chapter 3. And what about those that are unprepared, those that have not sought the Lord, those who are negligent, those who have been dismissive of such messages and such thoughts, those who have been maybe openly rejectful and scorning, like as Jesus said there would be at the end times. What about those? Well, like many before them, they will discover their error when it's too late. And so the time now is to prepare for the coming of the Lord as his people, as his believers, that we might be found to be in him without spot and blemish, that we might be in holiness and righteousness, a clean bride waiting and expecting his return. For those who have never trusted him to come today to the cross, don't leave it too late, because we know neither the day nor the hour. That day, that hour, that moment when the Son of Man will come. And he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so it is time to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Heaven's best kept secret. All the more reason why we should do what we need to do now to be ready for that moment when Jesus comes. Think about these words and let them sink into your heart.